morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to all of you who are joining us at home. Today is Reformation Day. It's a wonderful day for us to celebrate because it's been 504 years now that the truth of the gospel has been proclaimed. And so we give thanks to God for that. You think about the situation that the world was in all those years ago in 1517. Certain things that we take for granted as the basic building blocks of our faith as Christians, the idea that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I mean, we learn to sing that when we're children, but can you imagine a world where you didn't know that God loved you? Where you didn't have a Bible that you could hold in your hand and read in your own language? Can you imagine a world like that where you thought that you had to do enough good things in order to please God? You'd never have any rest. And so we give thanks that the truth of the gospel has been shining forth and continues. The Reformation continues even here in Hoyleton today. So we have a lot to celebrate. We've got red on the altar. We are ready to go. Also, giving thanks to God today for the chime choir. Chimes are back today. We are so excited. I think, and Kathy might correct me if I'm wrong, but I think back when the world stopped in March of 2020, we were supposed to have chimes that day. Yeah, right, okay, and that was the last time. That was the day when everything stopped. And so we're so glad to bring chimes back. We're so glad that you're here and you're able to enhance our worship with song today. We are going to use Divine Service Setting 3 for our worship this morning. It's on page 184. I invite you to please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Service now continues with the introit. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Come, O children, listen to me. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. Glory be to God on high. Pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for Reformation Day is from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory. Because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gradual is found on the inside cover of the bulletin. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers. That you may tell the next generation. The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning, we confess the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 718, Jesus, Lead Thou On. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon on this Reformation Day is from the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus is explaining to his disciples about the ministry of John the Baptist. John, of course, had once upon a time had quite a large following as he was baptizing and preaching by the Jordan. And yet, John used that popularity to point people to Jesus. We see some similarities as we think about the Reformation. Certainly, there were a lot of people who found Martin Luther to be an intriguing figure, and yet his popularity was something that he used to point people to Jesus. And so we continue that same spirit of the Reformation even now, that we remember in all things, it's not about us and it's not about what we can do, but it's simply about who the Lord is. It's Christ at the center, and it always has been and it always will be. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think I might have mentioned this in a sermon that I preached a little while ago, but these days, the way that I consume most books is pretty much through listening to audiobooks, and it's usually when I'm in the car. For a really long time, I had all these books that I wanted to read, and I was always frustrated because I never seemed to be able to find time to actually sit down and physically read a book. And even on those off chances when I did find some time, maybe at the end of the day or something, I would sit down, I would start reading, and I'd get a few pages in, and I would just get real sleepy, and I would just like fall asleep. So audiobooks, for me, have been a big blessing because as I drive around and I go and visit people, I don't have anything else that I need to be focusing on, so I can listen to books. And I've been able to read a lot more books that way in recent years than ever before. So I've been trying to expand my horizons a little bit. And so I've been adding into my audiobook library some of the older classics that for whatever reason I just never got around to reading. Like maybe they weren't assigned to me when I was in high school or anything like that. I just never got around to them. And so along with that, lately I've been listening to Sherlock Holmes novels and stories. I actually downloaded the entire collection of Sherlock Holmes. It's like a huge undertaking. It's like four volumes. If it was in print version, it'd be like 1,800 pages long. It's like 60 hours worth of listening on Audible. And so I haven't gotten through a lot of it yet. I'm still just in the first volume, haven't made a huge dent. But I've noticed already just listening to the stories I've already listened to that they're a lot different from what I expected them to be like. Just in the sense of, I mean, I knew what we all know, right? Like, I know Sherlock Holmes is, you know, the brilliant detective who can observe everything and figure out all the puzzles, and I can kind of picture him with the hat, you know, and the magnifying glass and all of those things. But in my mind, I always thought that Watson, Dr. Watson, was like his, you know, trusty sidekick, almost like, you know, equals, maybe not exactly equals, but pretty close, right? Like a Batman and Robin kind of situation. That's what I always assumed. But at least in these first few stories, these first few novels that I've been listening to, it seems like Watson is way inferior to Sherlock Holmes. Like, they are not on the same level at all. As I listen to these stories, it's like Watson is just confused all the time. He doesn't know what's going on. He can't figure out anything about Sherlock Holmes's reasoning and deduction. Sherlock Holmes will ask him questions and he won't have any good answers, or maybe if he does, they're always wrong. He never can figure out anything until the very end, when of course everything is explained, the mystery is solved, the puzzles are figured out, you know, and everything is right in the world. But the truth is, Watson is kind of lame. He doesn't do anything. He needs it all to be simplified for him. Elementary, my dear Watson, right? That's how we're used to hearing it. Sherlock Holmes can solve these puzzles and these mysteries on his own. He doesn't need any help whatever. Watson is dead weight, but for some reason, he keeps him around. I was kind of thinking about how it was like last Sunday night, we had our family night, and we had pumpkin carving. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people all around, and Zoe was all excited. She said, I want to help you carve a pumpkin, right? She helped me carve a pumpkin, right? So, like, it was mostly me carving a pumpkin. Zoe did help a little bit. She got to use the carving tools, and I had to be there to guide her hand, you know, but for the most part, it was me doing it. I didn't need help, but of course she was there. It was something that we got to do together. That's kind of how I feel about Sherlock Holmes in these novels. He doesn't need the help. He's leading and guiding the whole process, and Watson's just doing his best to catch up. Now, literarily speaking, it's good for Watson to be the character that he is because, I don't know if all of you know this, but these stories, these novels are pretty much all written from Dr. Watson's perspective. So he's like the narrator. So he's the one, when you're reading a Sherlock Holmes story, you're reading it from Dr. John Watson's memoirs. And so it's actually good that he doesn't understand anything because then the reader also doesn't understand anything, right? So we're kind of confused along with him until the big reveal at the end. But up until that point, Watson seems kind of pointless. So I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but I want to switch gears now. I want to talk about the theme for our worship, which, of course, is the Reformation, right? And this year, we get a somewhat rare opportunity to actually celebrate Reformation Day on the actual day, right? October 31st happens to fall on a Sunday this year. And so today is the day, the 504th anniversary of the day when Martin Luther, we could say bravely, or we could maybe even say naively, thought that he was going to be able to clean up some of the corruption that was going on in the church at the time by publishing his 95 Theses against the sale of indulgences, against the church essentially selling forgiveness. Obviously, there's a lot more history to the Reformation than just what happened on that one day. But traditionally, we kind of consider October 31st, 1517, as being the day that all of this stuff got started. It is good for us to celebrate the Reformation, even though we can't acknowledge the fact that certainly the church in the West has been quite divided since then. There are lots of divisions and subgroups and denominations and things. And that is a difficult aspect of the Reformation. But we can celebrate and we can give thanks. We should give thanks today that the Holy Spirit has allowed the truth of the gospel to shine forth. Even amidst all of the politics and the plain old sinful human nature that was preventing that word from being proclaimed, was completely obscuring that word of God in Luther's day. Ultimately, that's what the Reformation is all about. It's about the gospel. It's about the simple things, the elementary things. It's about faith alone and grace alone and scripture alone and Christ alone at the center. It sounds so simple. It is elementary, as Sherlock Holmes would say. And yet we know that it is very difficult for us as we continue to live in this world of sin, which tends to cloud everything. Sometimes we end up feeling like Dr. Watson. Like we can't figure out anything. It's all just kind of confused and muddled up in our heads because of our sinful nature. Sometimes it's hard for us to just be able to see what the Lord has placed right in front of our own faces. And our gospel reading brings this out today as well. So when you look at this passage here in Matthew chapter 11, maybe at first it might seem like sort of an odd choice for Reformation Day. It doesn't really seem to be anything really Reformation-y about this passage, but as you kind of look at this and you think about what's going on here, it does start to make sense. In this passage, Jesus is having this discussion about John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, at this point in the gospel narrative, John the Baptist has already been thrown into prison because John the Baptist was speaking the truth against the powerful rulers of his day, against King Herod and against this false and immoral marriage that King Herod was involved in. And So John's in jail, and people want to know what Jesus has to say about this, because of course Jesus and John the Baptist are very closely connected. In fact, they are even blood relatives of another. And so Jesus is talking about this, and everyone's remembering those days when John the Baptist was preaching out by the Jordan and baptizing all these people. And in those days, I think people really saw John the Baptist as being sort of like that Sherlock Holmes type. You know, someone who's just different. Someone who seems to be like on a different level from everybody else. Someone who looks different and thinks differently and speaks differently. People really thought that John the Baptist was something special. And to the point where there were a number of people in that crowd who were tempted to follow John. And they wanted to even worship John in a way. Now, Jesus makes it pretty clear to the people that are gathered around him in Matthew 11. He says in verse 14 of this reading, he says that if you're willing to accept it, John is Elijah who is to come. And that's kind of code for saying John is just a forerunner. John is like the appetizer for the meal, right? John the Baptist is not Sherlock Holmes, but he is, in a way, kind of like Dr. Watson. When it comes to this great mystery as to how the problem of death itself can be destroyed, figuring that out, John the Baptist isn't going to be able to do anything to help solve that problem, help solve that mystery. In fact, his beheading, which is going to happen very shortly after this conversation in Matthew 11, is kind of proof of that. John isn't able to solve that problem. But what John can do is he can point people to Christ. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, John the Baptist says, "He must increase, and I must decrease." Only Jesus is the one who can take the impossible and make it not only possible, but even seem simple and elementary. And Jesus does that through his death on the cross, through his resurrection from the tomb, through his giving of faith to us, faith that allows us to live forever. John the Baptist didn't do anything to help save the world, but you think about it like Dr. Watson's memoirs putting a spotlight on Sherlock Holmes, John the Baptist's preaching and his baptisms in the Jordan, that put a spotlight on Jesus. What John had to say to people put a spotlight on the Lord. He pointed people to Christ alone. And so back to the Reformation. Recently, I had an interesting conversation with someone about Martin Luther. I had somebody ask me recently, why do Lutherans name themselves after Luther? Isn't it wrong to name a church after someone other than God? Isn't it wrong to name a church after someone who is a sinner? Right? And that's an important question. Maybe some of you have heard that question before too. Now, obviously, part of the answer is that for us as Lutherans, we're not worshiping Luther just because we're called Lutherans, right? We only worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in case you didn't know this, this is just kind of a fun fact, but the reason why Lutherans started being called Lutherans was because back in the day, that's how the Roman Catholic theologians started referring to us. So at first, it was kind of like a derogatory term. It was like, ugh, those Lutherans. Like, who wants to be associated with those Lutherans? It was like a bad word. But eventually, that name Lutheran started to stick, and the Lutherans themselves kind of owned it and took that name upon themselves. And it's kind of ironic, too, because Martin Luther didn't really like that. He actually wrote that he did not want people to call themselves after his name. He didn't feel that he was worthy of that by any means. But see, that reveals something that's really important to say about the Reformation. That ever since October 31st, 1517, there have been people who have tried to turn this Reformation into like a cult of personality, where we're elevating Luther, right? Just kind of like what they did with John the Baptist. They're trying to elevate Luther to that Sherlock Holmes kind of level, so we can just kind of stand in awe and have our mouth gape open at the brilliance and the genius of Martin Luther. Some of you might remember this from just a few years ago, but as we learned in a certain Marge and Steve Kasten play production that happened here, this is not Luther Day, but this is Reformation Day. And contrary to popular belief, it's not the genius and brilliance of Luther that made this day or this celebration or this entire movement possible. In a world where all of humanity was trying to unravel this mystery, and the mystery being, how do we please God? We've seen over and over again that the clues that Luther himself was chasing after and paying attention to for a long time were the wrong clues. Luther himself, he tried to solve that mystery through things like monastic living and pilgrimages and going to visit all the relics and being really pious and having lots of good works in his life and going to the confessional booth and all of these things that he thought was going to help to solve the mystery. How can I please God? But he couldn't figure it out. And Martin Luther himself went into despair over that. It's a mystery, or it was. But every good mystery novel has that moment when all the puzzles are solved and everything is revealed and everything is right in the world again. And for Luther, that moment comes when the Holy Spirit leads him to read Romans chapter 1 for himself. To take what had already been written many, many years earlier and to understand that the righteous shall live by faith and not by their own good works. You want to be in God's good graces? The Holy Spirit says, elementary, my dear Luther. Simply believe in Christ alone. Trust in him and you will be saved. Call upon his name and you will live forever. It's as simple as that. So when you think about it that way, it's really as though Luther was not Sherlock Holmes, but Luther was Watson. Luther was nothing. Luther was dead weight. But Luther was able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to point others to Christ. That's what the Reformation is all about. And that's the Reformation that continues this very Sunday morning, 504 years later, here in the little village of Hoyleton. As Lutherans, we know that there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. We know that the Lord doesn't need our help in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. But just like Martin Luther, just like John the Baptist, and kind of like Dr. Watson, what we can do is that we can tell the story. We can point others to Christ. We're not going to be able to solve all the mysteries on our own, but we can direct others to the one who can, to the one who has made the impossible possible, to the one who has taken the greatest conundrum of our entire existence as human beings and has made the solution elementary by faith alone. By grace alone, Scripture alone, Christ alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Can I have the congregation please stand? We're going to turn to page 192 and we will sing together the words of the offertory.
Ask me, Lord.
You may be seated. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. In our prayers today, there are some updates for you. You'll notice it says in care facilities, we are going to be lifting in prayer Art Meyer. Art suffered a stroke last week. He's doing okay, but he is needing some therapy. So he has now been transferred to a rehabilitation facility in St. Louis. Please pray. pray for Art. Also, we are continuing to pray for John Cypher, who over this last week underwent many tests, and that testing will continue this week as well. So please keep John in your prayers. It says recovering from surgery for Mike Bartlett, that's the brother-in-law of Angie Schnicker. Actually, we found out that surgery has not yet taken place. So it's still an upcoming surgery for him. He's been experiencing some heart trouble. Finally, I wanted to bring to your attention an update on Steve Kasten under ongoing health. Steve will be having a heart cath procedure tomorrow, and hopefully they will be able to fix his heart trouble with some stents. Please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the comfort of the gospel restored to your church on earth through the work of Martin Luther and other faithful pastors and leaders during the Reformation. We praise you that by your rich grace, we have come to the sure knowledge that we stand justified before you, not by what we have done, but rather by faith in what your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done on our behalf. We implore you, defend your church from all enemies of your saving word. Cause your eternal gospel to be proclaimed in our time to every nation, tribe, language, and people on earth. And graciously preserve your truth for generations to come. Bless the continued work of the Reformation through our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, St. Peter Lutheran in New Memphis, and their pastor, Art Eichhorn. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on our nation. Give us good and faithful rulers who will govern after your good pleasure. Give us comfort and a right understanding of your rule in this world, that we would not be deceived to think earthly powers will last forever, but have confidence in you alone. Guide and protect the members of our nation's military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, make us truly your disciples. Keep us in your word and free us from all errors. If it be your will, continue to grant us favorable weather and a plentiful harvest, and grant safety to those who work in the fields. We thank and praise you for those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Aaron, Joyce, and Owen. Give them an increase in the faith as they enter into a new year of life. We also ask you to make our homes and families peaceful. Bless husbands and wives, especially those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including William and Chelsea Kellerman. May their love be a reflection of the love you have for all of us. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to create and sustain faith within us. And we rejoice today for the upcoming baptisms of Sheena Brink, Alyssa Brink, Ava Picard, and Harper Brink, which will take place here this afternoon. We also ask you to be with both our adult and junior confirmands. Teach us also to hear and learn your word anew as disciples with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers for the sick and those in any need, especially those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Art, Nina, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We continue to lift John before your throne as he continues his ongoing testing. Be with Mike as he anticipates his upcoming surgery, and also all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Stacy, Marvin, Glenn, Ted, Amy, Beulah, Steve, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Tracy, Marvin, Larry, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all those who are fighting cancer. Answer their prayers, Preserve them by your promises and bring them safely through this world to everlasting life. We also ask you to bless and grant safety to the healthcare workers who serve as your hands and feet in this particularly busy and anxious season. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have given us the certainty of sins forgiven by the blood of your Son to be received by faith. So lead us to eat and drink his holy body and precious blood in repentance and faith now and always. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us by your word out of the darkness of error and into the light of your grace. Mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from error and false doctrine, and grant that we do not become ungrateful and despise your word, but receive it with all our heart, conduct our lives according to it, and put our trust in your grace. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service of the sacrament now continues on page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We sing together the Nunc Dimittis on page 199. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is The Church's One Foundation. Thank you. Good morning. Thanks again, chimes. It sounded awesome. Really wonderful to hear the chimes play again. Praise be to God. Just a few announcements to give to you today. First of all, I wanted to mention that the celebration continues. So we are continuing to celebrate the Reformation later this afternoon. Our circuit, together with the circuit to our north, we are going to be getting together at St. John's in New Minden at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So come on out if you'd like to join us for worship. President Tim Schar will be the speaker, the preacher for the service, and Pastor Scott Shilby from Carlisle will be the organist for the service this afternoon. Some other things to mention. There is a note in your bulletin today about the Lutheran Witness. It is time for us to re-up our subscription, so let us know. The cost is $18. You will automatically receive it again unless you tell us that you want to cancel. So please let us know by November 10th. No chimes tomorrow night. Tuesday night is Ladies' Aid. It'll be the first Tuesday in November, so Ladies' Aid will meet at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Looking ahead to next weekend, YPS Youth are planning a yard cleanup day. If you have anything that you would like our youth to clean up for you, let us know. That's going to happen next Saturday. We are planning to cancel that event if it happens to rain, and all of the cleanup locations need to be within 7 miles of Hoyleton. So please take note of that. Also, just so you know, next Sunday we are ending daylight saving time. And so you will get to fall back and get an extra hour of sleep next Sunday morning. Don't forget that. The Worst Mart is coming up for us on November 14th. Next Sunday's Worst Mart is in Farron. So I know there's two big Worst Mart announcements in the bulletin. Don't get confused. Next Sunday's in Farron. On the 14th is here in Hoyleton. We hope that you'll come out and enjoy some delicious sausage. The last thing that I wanted to mention is that some of you have probably already received a letter from the Board of Elders talking about some upcoming debt reduction Sundays. Those of you who happen to be at our quarterly meeting here in October got to hear about our current debt situation. We are looking at the Sundays before and after Thanksgiving, so November 21st and November 28th. We're calling those the Lord of the Harvest Debt Reduction Sundays. So please take a look at that. If you haven't gotten your letter and your envelope in the mail, that will be coming to you shortly. And are there any other announcements today? Okay, if not, go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.